January 14th, and we are continuing in Perek Chelek. Tonight we cover what we might call the main topic of the first few blot, and perhaps it's the main topic of the whole Perek, which is Tchias HaMesim, to understand what it is, and also to understand how it's presented to us, and the different proofs that are brought. I told you that that on Daf Tzadi Amud Beis, that's where the rayas to Tchias HaMesim begin, and there are many of them. But the truth is, if you go through the first couple of blot, which many of you have, you will find I counted now. There are a few that are redundant, but only a few. I counted 29 proofs to Tchias HaMesim, and I may have missed a few. Now, there are a couple that are redundant. If you cut out the ones that are redundant, I think you still have about 26 rayas to Tchias HaMesim. Some of them come from the Torah. Some come from Navi. Some are just Svara. Some are using empirical evidence from what goes on in the world. And the truth is that they're not all coming to prove the same thing. See, because if you're bringing a raya from the Torah, it means you're talking to someone who's willing to accept the Torah. If you're bringing a raya from logic, you're talking to someone who's not willing to accept the Torah.
No, what about the Rashi right at the beginning of the Perek?
What do you mean?
He says, "Bafilu yamoyde umamim sheyichu amesim eladala remizi varaisa kaitrehu."
Right, you have to believe that it's there.
You have to believe that there's a raya in the Torah. So what does all the svaras help anyway?
Okay. So the svaras, who are they talking to? They're not talking to, you know.
What's it accomplishing now?
What's it accomplishing? That's a good question. Now, the famous rayas that there are in the Torah itself, which everybody should know anyway, and most of them are Rashi's and Chumash, but you have Oz Yashir, Lashon Asid, that then he will sing, Moshe Rabbeinu will sing in the future. You have, we say every day, Asher Nishba, Laman Yirbu Yemechem Vemenechem, Al Ha'adama Asher Nishba, Hashem Lavasechem, Lases Lahem, that Hashem promised to give to our Avos, to give them, and they never had Eretz Yisrael. So clearly, there's Tchias HaMesim. The Gemara brings both of those rayas. The first one the Gemara brings of La'aron HaKayan, that he's going to get Truma, and of course he was never in Eretz Yisrael, so how could he get Truma? So there's that raya, and there are others from the Torah itself. The one that is repeated is the one about Hincha Shoichei Vim Avosecha V'kam, that Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to die, and then get up, V'kam. Depends where you put the comma, but that's also a raya in the Torah itself. And you have more, the rayas in the Navi are even more mefurish, like the Yatzitzu Meir case of Haaretz, and Rav Mishani Haaretz Akitzu. You have the psukim are much more clear in Navi than they are in the Chumash itself. So tonight what I'd like to cover is, first of all, what is Tchias HaMesim? What is its purpose? What do we know about it? What do we not know about it? And why is it done this way? The Gemara feels, it so strongly feels, to bring a raya to Tchias HaMesim is so important that everybody has to weigh in on their raya to Tchias HaMesim. 25, 26 different rayas to Tchias HaMesim. And yet, the Torah never says it explicitly. The Torah never tells us that there's going to be Tchias HaMesim. If it's so important, let the Torah tell us about it. Why not mention it in the Torah itself? So, first of all, let's get clear what Tchias HaMesim is, at least according to some shittas. Now, you're going to get different shittas over here. Let's at least describe what the Ramchal says about Tchias HaMesim. Ramchal writes in Derech Hashem, there is a misnomer that we like to refer to Olam Haba. Olam Haba. We talk about Olam Haba. Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. This world, the next world. Very often people talk about Olam Haba as the place where neshamas go after they die. That people who have passed away, they're in Olam Haba. They're in the Olam Ha'emes. They're in Olam Haba. We like to equate those things. So, could be Olam Ha'emes, Olam Haba really mean two different things. But what is... What?
Olam Haba is Olam Ha'emes.
Well, so... But right away in our Gemara, The Mishnah says, Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek la'olam haba. That's the first thing the Mishnah says. Everybody has a chelek la'olam haba, except for, and the Mishnah lists the exceptions, and one of the first exception is, Ha'aymer, ve'ilu shein lam chelek la'olam haba, who does not get olam haba? Ha'aymer ein tchias ha'meisim in ha'Torah. The one who says that tchias ha'meisim is not in the Torah. That person doesn't get olam haba. So if he denies tchias ha'meisim, he doesn't get olam haba. What does one thing have to do with the other? Zok de Gemara, v'chol kach lama. What? Why such a terrible punishment just because he denies tchias ha'meisim should lose olam haba? Tana we learned in a brisa who kafar b'tchias ha'meisim, he denied tchias ha'meisim. Lafikach lo yia lo chelak b'tchias ha'meisim. Therefore, he will not get a chelak in tchias ha'meisim. What do you mean tchias ha'meisim? I thought we were talking about olam haba. Clearly, the Gemara holds, as the Mishnah holds, that tchias ha'meisim and olam haba are one and the same. Olam haba is tchias ha'meisim. Tchias ha'meisim is olam haba. Those who have passed away, who are no longer with us, they are not yet in olam haba. They are not yet at tchias ha'meisim. They haven't come back to life yet. They're not there yet. They are somewhere. They still live, but they are not in olam haba. According to the Ramchal, and it seems pretty clear from the Gemara, that to say that someone who is nifter is in olam haba is a mistake. That's simply an error. It doesn't mean that. So where are the neshamas of those who passed away? We know where their bodies are. The gufim are all on the ground.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So does it mean that they are one and the same, or does it mean that tchias ha'meisim is necessary to get to olam haba?
You could say that, but even if you say that, then olam haba is not where the people who have died are.
No, for sure.
Yeah, okay. So it certainly has not... Olam haba has not happened yet. That's clear from the Gemara. So then where are the neshamas? So the Ramchal explains that when a person dies, then when a person is created, they are created with a guf and a neshama together. A neshama is put into the guf, and that's the Rishon HaBari say, that's the greatest nes of all. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu ties together a guf with a neshama, a guf which is gashmi and a neshama which is ruchni, to put the two of them together, that is itself the greatest nes, and that's what many mefarshim say. The Mishabur brings it, is the taich and the bracha of Asher Yatzar, Roifecho Basar Umafli Lasais. That Hashem does a plia. He does an unbelievable thing, an incredible thing. What's the plia? The plia is that he ties the guf and the neshama together. That is life. That is chayim that we have in Olam Hazeh, is the guf and the neshama together. Death is the pirud, is the separation of the guf and the neshama. When we die, then the neshama is pulled out of the guf. That's the Gemara and Brachas goes through the various mishalim to death. Like an easy death, the Gemara says, is like pulling a hair out of milk. It's very easy. And a difficult death, a painful death, the Gemara describes pulling a knot of a rope that's knotted in a raft to hold the boards together. So you pull them together with a rope, and then you knot the rope so that they can't come apart. So you put the rope through a hole and you knot it so it can't come out of the hole. And then you yank that rope with the knot through the hole, which of course breaks the hole of the wood. You know, it pulls it apart and shatters it. That's akin to a difficult death. The Gemara brings those mishalim to show what's happening is that the neshama is being pulled out of the guf. That's what happens upon death. We know what we do with the body. The body goes in the ground. Where does the neshama go? Says the Ramchal, the neshama goes to Gan Eden. What does that mean? So the Ramchal says that Gan Eden is a physical place. We know Gan Eden is a physical place. Adam and Chava were created in Olam Hazeh, and they were put in Gan Eden. We don't know where Gan Eden is. It's hidden, and no one's going to find it. It's hidden away, but there is a place called Gan Eden. There is also a Gan Eden Shamala. As we know that there are places in Shamayim, there are places in the Ruchniyistika Welt that correspond to the Gashmiyistika Welt. Like we know there's Yushalayim Shalmata and there's Yushalayim Shalmala. There's a Beis HaMikdash Shalmata, there's a Beis HaMikdash Shalmala. There's also a Gan Eden Shalmata and a Gan Eden Shalmala. There's a Gan Eden upstairs somewhere. And the neshamas, when they die, when a person dies, the neshama, assuming that it doesn't need a tikkun of any sort, which we're not going to get into this evening, but assuming it doesn't need a tikkun, or after it has its tikkun, it goes to Gan Eden, and there it sits and waits. And what is it waiting for? It is waiting for Tchias HaMeisim. It is waiting for the future. And at Tchias HaMesim, and I'm skipping ahead, obviously, I'm skipping Yemos HaMashiach and all that, but at Tchias HaMesim, that is when the guf and the neshama are reunited. The guf is reconstituted, the neshama is put back into the guf, and it comes out of the grave. As you read in the Gemara, Hashem opens up the graves, and everybody comes out of the graves alive and well. The Gemara discusses, do people come out with their, do they come out with all of their mumim healed, or as the Gemara says, first they come out with their mumim and then the mumim get healed right away, but however that happens, that's the process that goes on. Now, the Ramchal says that the neshama in Gan Eden does have a certain amount of hana. There's a certain amount of you want to call it pleasure, a certain amount of fulfillment that the neshama has in Gan Eden, more than it has here. It is a place which is better than Olam Hazeh. There is no pain in Gan Eden. There is no struggles that we have down here. But says the Ramchal, it is not yet at the point of the schar that Hashem is going to give us for everything we've done. That schar is not in Gan Eden. That schar is in Olam Haba, which is Tchias HaMesim. That's the Ramchal's description. Yeah, there's one more point before we give. Okay, just one other point to mention about this is that there is, according to many Rishonim, there are two Tchias HaMesims. And there's a Ritva that learns that there's a kasha, because we say that anybody who is misabel al Yerushalayim, anybody who mourns over Yerushalayim, zoyche v'raya bevinyana, he'll see its rebuilding. There are many great tzaddikim who are misabel al Yerushalayim who died and they did not see the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. So what does it mean they're going to be zoyche v'raya bevinyana? So the Ritva understands it means that they are going to be, there's going to be a special Tchias HaMesim dafka for those special tzaddikim. Meaning there is a general Tchias HaMesim, which is at the end, whenever that is. But there's also a different Tchias HaMesim for those who deserve it, who will come back at Yemais HaMashiach to see the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Bishlei Musa. And that's a separate thing. And that also helps explain the Gemaras in Sukkah that seem to indicate that at Yemais HaMashiach, at some point or other, we're going to have Maishe Rabbeinu, we're going to have Aaron HaKayin, we're going to have others who are going to be there at Yemais HaMashiach. But that's not Tchias HaMesim. Tchias HaMesim is somehow after that. So this helps explain that there's really two different Tchias HaMesims. So that's the presentation as far as the Ramchal is concerned.
You mentioned Gehenim as well?
He talks about Gehenim as well. I'm skipping that. That's not what I'm focused on now. But he does talk about Gehenim, yeah.
So you referred to Gan Eden as a place where people wait. So, so that works with my kids. That's a nice story. But, I mean, we're talking about a place that's not physical, right?
Right.
So how do you refer to a place that is not physical as a place, or as a problem of waiting?
You're right. You're right. That I can't explain. And it's going to have to be on a ruchnius to complain, which we can't appreciate. What does it mean? We experience gashmius. We don't experience ruchnius. So we can't touch it. We can't feel it. We can't.
Right? So there's no time. There's no
So I don't know what it means.
But you say it's a place like Adam and Eve were in it.
No.
It's one in Shamayim that corresponds to the one down here. Just like there's Yerushalayim Shamala.
I'm never going to understand this like my whole life.
Yeah, this is not. Now,
what's going on in the physical Gan Eden then?
The physical Gan Eden has been barred. You can't get in there. We don't even know where it is.
So the Neshama's got a bit.
You mean the next?
Yeah. But we don't know where the physical Gan Eden is. We don't know. Now, it should also be noted that the Ramchal makes this clear, but the truth is it's clear in the Chumash straight, that had there not been any Chet, had Adam Rishon never eaten from the Eitz Hadas, so then there would not have been a need for Misa. This period of the Neshama from the Guf would not have been necessary, and rather what would have happened is that Olam Hazeh would have seamlessly turned into Olam Haba. That Adam HaRishayim and Chava would have seamlessly moved from Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba. This world would have seamlessly moved from Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba. This is where Olam Haba is. It is in this world. It's here, but it's going to be reconstituted. That's the Gemara later on that says that the tzaddikim ba'is hasha, what's going to happen to them? The Hashem is going to destroy the world, and they're going to be given wings, and they're going to fly over, and they're not going to be in pain. Whatever's going on with that, right? My kids love that story. But you know, what does that mean? I don't know what it means. But whatever it is, the Olam Haba is here. It's just a totally reconstituted world. And there would have been no need for Misa had there not been Chet. Now that there is Chet, there is a need for Misa, both of people. Our neshamas leave us, and then we're brought back together. And there's a need for Misa of the world itself. The world itself has to be destroyed and reconstituted for there to be an Olam Haba. That's a result of Chet. That is not what would have happened had there not been a Chet of Adam Arisha. So that has changed.
So the Olam Haba will last forever, and it will be some sort of reconstituted physicality?
So it seems. It's physical and spiritual. Both. It's married together, the physical and spiritual together, like we are now.
The spiritual isn't, like, destroyed or anything. Like, it... I don't even know if there is such a concept as spiritually destroyed, but I'm saying, like, the physical is the chiddush. It's going to be somehow... It's going to be physical, it's going
to
be...
That's the one that we relate to. I don't know what will happen in the spiritual world. I don't know what happens to Malachim.
There's no sort of, like, heaven where it's all spiritual, there's no physical...
Well, there is ruchnius, there are malachim out there,
No, I meant that we eventually go to and stay there permanently.
Not permanently. Our neshamas go there after we die until it's time for tchias hameisim. But the ultimate place that we are striving for, the ultimate utopia, is not heaven, as the Christians say. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for this world reconstituted in Olam Haba. That's the ultimate utopia. That's where everything is perfect. That's where we get our pure schar for everything we've done. Question?
You said you weren't going to mention about if you need a tikkun or something.
Of Gehenna,
like,
yeah.
So another kind of tikkun, maybe like a Gilgul.
Yeah, so
like
the Gilgulim I b'chlal don't know anything about. And I don't really have... It's not something that I have a great need to find out about. I'm happy not knowing, right? I mean, if I'll learn about it, so, you know. But it's not something which really troubles me. You know, whatever it is, it is. You know, it's something.
I guess the question I had to do with the Tchias Hameisim, if you've got more than one goose assigned.
Yeah. Everybody has this. When you know, which wife, which husband, you know, that's all that. You know, what if my kid is my father? You know, all these different, right? You know, all these different.
Yeah. How does Ram Kal deal with, I think it's Rav's statement that you won't eat, they won't drink, how does that fit into the physical aspect?
Okay,
so Olam Haba, you're saying? Yeah, because it's a Machlokas for showing them what exactly. I think the Rambam says actually that Olam Haba then switches into a Rukhni, a complete Rukhni situation.
Yeah, so the Ramchal also, I really don't want to get into the specifics of this.
The
Ramchal himself says what happens is that the Neshama completely permeates the Guf and raises the goof up, and then it continuously grows and grows and grows and grows. So I don't know about eating, drinking, things like that. It doesn't seem like there would be that in Olam Haba, but, you know, that's...
What did Anshei Knesset Gadol mean when they said, Einzel Aschar Malkinu L'chai Olam Haba, and then Galenu L'mas Mashiach, and then the Men L'char Mashiach L'schias HaMeis?
You are making a gross assumption that was written by Anshei Knesset Gadol.
You're right, I am. Chazal, let's put it
that way. I know it's Chazal. I know that this is a piyut.
Well, Chazal is...
Chazal means the Gemara. Or earlier. After the Gemara, you don't call him Chazal anymore.
Okay. Whoever was the...
It's an early Paitan, which is a good question. And we're not going to... You know, the Paitanim were Rishonim, or earlier, or Gaonim, then they knew what they were talking about. But I'm saying we're not going to say that... You have no raya that just because we say it in tefillah that this is l'kuliyama.
Right, but all Klal Yisrael does say that every Shabbos.
Right. Why don't you do this? Tell me
pretty holy thought that. What, do you mean?
What is it?
In Hakol Yoducha, right after the bracha of Yetzar, or during the bracha of Yetzar, En kerekach Hashem l'kinah b'olam hazeh, v'in zvach l'kinah l'kinah l'chayi ha'olam haba, efetz b'lachol galim l'mas mashiach, v'in dama l'chol mashiach l'schiz ha'meisim. It sounds like that Olam Haba and Tchias HaMeisim are two different things.
Maybe it's a parallel.
It may be.
Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba.
Yimas HaMashiach. Tchias HaMeisim. Yeah, that is what I thought when I was singing this last Shabbos. So I thought about it last Shabbos also. But I don't know. It could be that it's a machlokes. But you understand that the Gemara is a very shtak araya.
Whoever wrote this also knew the Gemara.
Right. Most certainly. Far better than us. Okay. Now, yeah.
The first line of the Mishnah says, Kol Yisrael Yishlam Chelek Olam Haba,
right.
Which the Pshat would seem that Kol Yisrael Yishlam Chelek Olam Haba.
That's what the word say.
Right. Now, there is Machlokot if it applies to Kol or not,
okay.
Whatever. How do you reconcile this with Kol Hashoneh Halachot B'chol Yom Uvtach Lo Shu Ben Olam Haba?
Yeah, so what's a Ben Olam Haba?
What's the difference? No. First of all, it seems from that if you are not Shoneh Halachot Kol Yom, then you're not a Ben Olam Haba. And what's the difference between Chelek Olam Haba and Ben Olam Haba?
Kol HaOmer Tilo Zav B'chol Yom, Gimel Pom B'chol Yom. Right? That's a good question. Great question.
Also, I mean, it says in the Pasuk, this the Raya that Kol Yisrael Yishen Chelek, it's tied to the Eretz, right?
Right.
So there's a connection between the land and the physical world.
And
having a chayv.
Now, with all of this, with Tchias HaMeisim, we know that the Rambam lists the belief in Tchias HaMeisim as one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, and the Gemara itself tells us that if a person denies Tchias HaMeisim from the Torah, then like Rabbi Asa said, Rashi says, if a person believes it but doesn't believe it comes from the Torah, even that, he loses his chelek in Olam Haba. So it's very important that we believe that there will be Tchias HaMeisim, and we believe that it's in the Torah itself. That this is not something that somebody made up, it's not something that we believe just because, but it is a basic tenet of belief. So what's so important about believing in Olam Haba? Why is it so important? What is so critical? There are plenty of people who live and die and who are good yidden. What does the belief in Olam Haba do to change their lives? If we would not have been told about Olam Haba, let's say there will be Olam Haba, but we were never told about it. We were never told about Tchias HaMeisim. It was never in the Mishnayos. It was never Merumas in the Torah. We never found out about it. It was never something on the radar screen. What's different? What changes in our Avodas Hashem, in our lives, not having such a concept of Tchias HaMeisim, or not being aware of the concept of Tchias HaMeisim?
Isn't the idea of ultimate justice for me to connect me to that?
Okay.
That couldn't be in Gan Eden?
So, good. So, Dan is saying that it has to do with ultimate justice of Mida Keneged Mida. And Rabbi Asa is asking, well, what do you mean? Who says that can't be done in Gan Eden? So that's the perfect exchange for this. Right? So here's the issue. You see, we know, and this is really the reason, in my opinion, why the Gemara in Chelek starts with a discussion of Mida Keneged Mida. Mida Keneged Mida was really a sidebar. We talked about it last week. It's really a sidebar. The Gemara discusses it because the Mishnah said, if you don't believe in Tchias HaMeisim, you don't get Tchias HaMeisim. Okay, fine. But then the Gemara says that, now all Midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mida Keneged Mida, I mentioned to you last week, from Avraham Kalin's Chana Rachel, how important it is to give over that Yesod of Mida Keneged Mida. Everything is Mida Keneged Mida. We have it in the Parashios with Paro. Then we have in Parshas Yisroi. It's very, very important to know about Mida Keneged Mida. But then the Gemara just ends that discussion and then launches into the real discussion, which is Tchias HaMeisim. It goes on for several blocks trying to prove Tchias HaMeisim with a few digressions, but that's the main focus for two or three blocks. What's so crucial about Mida Keneged Mida? So it seems to me, because that's the whole issue with Tchias HaMeisim, is Mida Keneged Mida. Like the Gemara itself says, where's the Gemara? With the Gemara says the mushal of here on the bottom of Tani Aleph from an Aleph and the top of Tani Aleph from a base. Yeah, this is a crucial Gemara when it comes to the whole thing. Zok the Gemara. Amar le Antoninus le Rebbe. Three lines from the bottom of Tani Aleph from an Aleph. Antoninus said to Rebbe, Guf u'neshama yachal liftar atzma mihadin. Both the Guf and the neshama can get out of judgment. Ketzad? Guf aymer neshama chatas. It's the neshama that sinned. Shemiyam shepir shamimani. Because when the neshama left, harani muto kevin daimim. I'm like a silent stone. But kevin in the grave, the body can say, it's not my fault. Ever since the neshama left, I haven't done any sins. That's true, right? Name me one dead person who's done a sin. Done a error. They're dead. They can't. Ureshama aymeres, the neshama says, Guf chata, it's the guf that did the averis. Shemiyam shepirash imimenu, because when I left the guf, how many parachas ba'avir kitzipar? I'm like flying in the air like a bird. So I'm not doing any averis. Amarlei, so Rebbe said back, Emshal ha mashal amad avadayim, I'll tell you a mashal. Lamelach basar vadam shayel like pardes nai, had a beautiful orchard. Ahaya bai, bikura is nice, he had some beautiful budding fruit. So he put two guards in the pardes. Echad chiger vechad suma. One was lame and one was blind. Amalai chiger. Now the apparently the idea is that this way they neither of them can take the fruit. That's true. But the chiger can't walk to get them, and the suma can't see them. Amalai chiger lesuma. So the lame one said to the blind one, Bikaros nos aniraya, but pardes, I see these beautiful fruits. Now, the chiger is a mushel too. Which one? The gopher or the neshama?
Neshama. Neshama, he's riding on the
blizzard. The chiger, I believe, is the gopher.
Yeah.
The gopher sees and is chaymed. The gopher sees and desires. Right?
But he can't move.
Right, he's the chiger. Can't move.
So
a body is the great. Body can't move without the neshama. The body has no animation without the right.
They can't see without the neshama. Yeah, but the muscle is when they're alive, right?
Yeah.
So what carries around what? Your body carries around the soul.
Okay,
right?
okay. So he says, so I see these beautiful fruits. Boy vakiveni, come and lift and carry me. Unaviyem la'achlam, and we'll bring them and we'll eat them. In other words, you carry me because you don't know where to go. I'll direct you. And then you'll take me to the trees, I'll pull them off, and then we'll both eat them. Rachav chiger agabi suma, so the chiger rode on top of the suma, v'heviyum, and they brought them, v'achum, and ate them. Liyamim ba balat parde, so then the king came. Amar lahen, bikaros nois heichan hein, where are my beautiful fruits? Amar lo chiger, klum yeshli ragayim ha'alak mahen, do I have any feet to go? Couldn't be me, wasn't me, I can't walk. Amar lo suma, klum yeshli einayim, miros ma'as, miros, do I have any, the suma said, do I have eyes to see? It wasn't me. I couldn't possibly find them. Ma'a, so what did the king do? Hirkiv chiger agabi suma. He rode the chiger on top of the suma. V'donai sam ke'echad, and then he judged them together. He judged them one as one group. Afakadosh Baruch Hu, maybe neshama v'zoraka b'guf. He takes the neshama, throws it into the body. V'donai sam ke'echad, and then he judges them together. And he brings the pasuk of Yikra el ha-shamayim, etc. So this mashal is crucial to the understanding of Tchiyas HaMeisim. We know that, and this does not need to be explained so well. We know that it is critical to believe in schar va'inish, in reward and punishment. Not so much because we want the schar and we don't want the einish. As we know, have misham shemes harav shloya manas lekalo pras. We should work not on condition that we should get reward. My Rashiv is a Chavar Rav Weinberg made it clear to make a distinction between Shaloi Almanas Lekabel Pras and Almanas Shaloi Lekabel Pras. Right? It's not correct to say that we're working on condition not to get reward. That's not true. But we're not working on condition to get reward. That's not the reason why we're working. But about it, we know we're going to get reward. But that's not the purpose of our Avaida. So we know that we're not supposed to have the schar and einish in mind. The reason to do mitzvahs and avoid averis is not in order to not get punished and to get reward. If the Rambam writes, if that's the only thing that will motivate you, then that's good, you should do it. But people should grow out of that as we move on in life. That's for children, it's something which we should use as women and children, but that's something to grow out of and to become bigger than that and to be serving Hadosh Baruch Hu purely for the sake of serving Hadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not that we believe in Schar V'Einish, it's not that the importance of the belief in Schar V'Einish is so that we will serve him, But it's important to believe in Schar V'Einish, because if you don't have Schar V'Einish, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care. What shows us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares how we act, that it matters? What shows us that it matters is the very fact that there will be Schar for doing it right and Einish for doing it wrong. If there was no Schar V'Einish, then there would be, then it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't make a difference if a person who does terrible chataim and a person who does great mitzvahs, they end up in the same place with the exact same future, then it doesn't matter. It's not relevant. What shows that it's relevant, if they both end up with the same closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because ultimately what is schar? Getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is einish? Distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's ultimately what it is. The greatest pain is distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The greatest pleasure is closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a tzaddik and a rasha end up in the exact same closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the same relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care whether a person is a tzaddik or a rasha. The schar v'einish is the indication that it matters, that he cares, that it is something that has meaning. So schar v'einish is definitely critical. We must believe in schar v'einish in order to be Avdei Hashem. And that is also one of your Gimel Ikrim. The problem with schar v'einish is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates only Midah Keneged Midah. That undermines the whole concept of schar v'einish. How can there be schar v'einish? You can't tell me that all schar and all einish is an Olam Hazeh, because we see it's not true. We see it's not true. There are plenty of people who do Averis, and when they die, they have not been fully punished for their Averis. There are plenty of people who do mitzvahs, who have very, very difficult lives. They clearly have not been rewarded for their mitzvahs by the time they die. So we can't possibly say that Olam Hazeh is the forum for Schar V'Einish. We are forced to say that Schar V'Einish primarily takes place after death. In fact, Chazal tell us that's true, that it primarily takes place after death. And that's why Chazal say that one of the primary answers to Tzadik V'Ra'aloi and Rasha V'Toivloi is HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Tzadik his punishments in this world, so he'll only have Schar in the next world, and he gives the Rasha his reward in this world, so he'll get the Einish in the next world. Fine. But clearly the next world, clearly I should say, I only use the word next world, clearly after death is a major component of Schar V'Einish. But the problem is, after death is not Midah Keneged Midah. How can HaKadosh Baruch Hu give Ruch Niyastika punishment to a Gash Niyastika Avera and Ruch Niyastika, Mitzvah, and Ruch Niyastika, no, Avera, and Ruch Niyastika reward to a Gash Niyastika Mitzvah? How can HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish the Neshama or reward the Neshama when the guf also was involved? This taina of Antoninus is the ultimate taina. How can there be schar v'einish? He's not just asking, that they could pat themselves. Antoninus is asking a much more fundamental question. How can schar v'einish be true? How is it possible if it's not midah keneged midah? Then it's not really an appropriate einish, and it's not really an appropriate schar. So Rebbe answers him, the ultimate schar is together. And the ultimate einish also is the guf and the neshama put back together, and that's where the ultimate schar and einish take place. Is when they're together as one, just like the mitzvahs and the averis were done when they're together as one. This is why tchias hamesim, at least one reason why tchias hamesim, is so critical to the ikrim. You have to believe it, because without it, the whole thing unravels. Without it, schar v'einish doesn't make sense, and without schar v'einish, the whole thing doesn't make sense. So it's built on itself. You have to have schar v'einish, and therefore you must have tchias hamesim.
So, Gan Eden, there's no...
You just said that tchias hamesim and Ramabar are at least synonymous.
Yeah.
Which means that if schar v'einish is only complete after tchias hamesim, which you're positing right now, then it's impossible to say that there's people that don't have a chelik on Ramabar, because it has to be that everybody has to come back and get their ownish.
Yeah.
Even the Rishon, doesn't have a
chaylet. There are Rishon who come back and get their
Yeah, but it has to be everybody, because you're saying that there's no true punishment in this world, or in the Ruchnius world.
Even coming back to get their punishment is ultimately a level of schar, because it means they have Nitzchias. It means they still exist.
Okay. Rebbe, and I'm talking like a total Russia who has no chelik on Olam Ba, you cannot give him his full onesh in this world.
So he
needs to come back according to this.
So his onesh seems to be to cease to exist.
So the punishment for an atheist is that he's right.
I don't know. But to cease to exist seems to be the absolute. I mean, kares, what is kares? That's already a whole discussion. The different types of kares. But that's the worst. To cease to exist is the worst of all punishments.
But is that's a ruchnius punishment for gashmius kaveir, right?
What's that?
That's a ruchnius punishment for gashmius kaveir.
Cease to exist in the space of
reason.
I hear the point you're making. I don't have a complete answer for you. I mean, even Marashiva asked that, how can punishment in this world, you know, we said the tzaddikim get einish in this world, the rishayim get skar in this world, but how does that measure up? If a mitzvah really gives you skar, that is forever, because it does, every mitzvah we do at Tchias HaMeisim, we're going to get rewarded forever with that mitzvah. Then how can HaKadosh Baruch Hu give it to the Rasha in this world? It's fleeting in this world. So good. So he gives him a lot of money. Shkayach. So it lasts for a few years. What good is that? That's not comparable to the Shkayach of the next world. Same thing with the Einish. Yet it seems that it does do that. So that's a nice kasha. I don't have a good answer for you. What's that? Yeah.
That's what he wants.
He's mala this world as the ultimate. So mala, that's but it's false. I mean, he's fooling himself.
His onus when he comes back and he sees it's all true.
The meaning of Megamita is the onus is because is God changes the reality in such a way that he's correct.
That's why the person can be inspired on his mitzvahs and lose the inspiration. I don't want to sidetrack you, but so then what happens in Gan Eden in the meantime? There's no schar then?
No, and there is tikkun also, because there is Gehenim. So there is tikkun. There is something that goes on with being misaki in the neshama, and with some kind of the Ramchal says there is a level of hana in Gan Eden, not the same level as in Olam Haba. So there is something that goes on over there. So I'm not saying that there's nothing that happens between the time a person dies and Tchias HaMeisim. But the it can't be that that's the be-all and end-all. There's got to be something else. It's also important to note that you realize that it's such an important concept that the whole second bracha of Shemot Esrei is Tchias HaMeisim, Nechayim HaMeisim. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's clearly something that is very, very important for us to be not just aware of, but constantly articulating. It's got to be something which is in front of us, not something that we learned it once and it's in the back of our minds. It's something which is there on a regular basis in front of our faces.
So wouldn't everybody have to get their own through Tzachiyah to make you
there are some punishments a person comes back to get. There is some of that. For tzaddikim, that doesn't happen. Tzaddikim, they get all their punishments before that. Either here, or, as was mentioned, a tikkun, as in Gehenim, for the neshama after death, but then at Tchias HaMeisim, it's pure bliss. But there are some rishayim who come back and they experience a punishment. The punishment seems to be distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Seems to be that's what it is.
Well, the other explanation why it says Mechayim Eitzim Rachamim Rachamim, why do you need Rachamim Rachamim for
tzaddikim? Seems like it.
I don't know. There is a kliyakar in Parshas Bechukosai. Some of you may be familiar with it. Rabbi Michal Friedman pointed me in this direction. So the in the beginning of Bechukosai, you know, Bechukosai has the Torchecha in it. So in the beginning of Bechukosai, you have a certain amount of brachas that are mentioned. So the pasuk says. The pasuk says, "V'yishalachti b'soichachem." Hashem says, "I will go amongst you." Rashi says, "What does that mean?" "Atayel imachem b'gan Eden." I will stroll with you in Gan Eden. Ke'echa mikem, like one of you. "V'losium is dazim imeni." You won't be trembling from before me. Yachol loy siru meni. You might think you won't even fear me. Talmud lomar v'yisi lachem elokim. That's what the pasuk says, and I'll be for you as an elokim. So Hashem says that in the list of the brachas, that I will go with you in Gan Eden. I'll walk with you in Gan Eden together, and you won't be trembling. But v'yisi lachem elokim, I'll be your elokim. You will fear me. Now this is the springboard for the Kli Yakar, where he brings the Rashi, and then he says, why does Rashi say this? Daitai lesalek me'al tayra senu hakadaisha kol tayin uma'arer ha'aymer yesh li makom lolon. Rashi is trying to remove all those who would like to deny and show that they have a place to hang their hat. B'loimar me'achar shaloi nizkar b'toira ikar haschar l'neshama, that since the Torah never says the schar for the neshama, imkin v'aday en kayach b'mitzvahs elu lahanchil aiseyem haschar anafshi l'olam haba, that certainly these mitzvahs do not give a person schar l'olam haba, because the Torah never talks about it. The Torah never discusses ruch niyastik eschar, certainly not openly. It never discusses schar in the future. All the Torah talks about is you're going to get rain, and you're going to get food, and you're going to have fields, and you're going to be protected, and there'll be shalom, and it'll be wonderful. Never discusses getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't talk about at least not getting close to him after death. There's no discussion of that. So therefore, someone might want to taina that the purpose of doing mitzvahs is L'kabal haschar ba'olam hazeh, is to get schar in this world. Someone might want to tie to that. And he goes on to expound upon that. So therefore, says the Kli Yakar, that the Rishonim have 7 mahalchim to show why is it that the Torah does not focus on schar after death. Rather on schar, only on, now I don't know if you call it schar, but only on good things now, rather than schar after death. So there are 7 different mahalchim, he says. Vani basi lekatzer b'chol hayecholas. I've come to shorten it to give you a concise presentation. Ulesadram pai kedil hastiram pidavrei asak al terasenu akadosh, in order to lahastim pidavrei asak al terasenu akadosh, to close the mouths of those who want to deny that there is a future good. So he brings 7 dais. So let's at least list some of them. First of all, you have the Rambam. That's the first one he lists, of course. You have the Rambam, the way he quotes the Rambam is that none of the things mentioned in the Torah are reward, none of it. There is no reward mentioned in the Torah at all. It does not tell you anything about reward for mitzvahs, nothing. All these brachas about having brachas with shalom and with food and with money and with land and with protection and with children and whatever it is, a long life, health, none of that is reward for a mitzvah. All of that, all the reward for mitzvahs is after death. The Torah is only telling us that which will make our lives easier so that we can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. And that's all it means. That if you do mitzvahs, says the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will make it easier for you to do more mitzvahs. But that has nothing to do with schar at all. So it's not the pshat
in the Rambam that is the schar.
Yeah, because the schar is afterwards.
No, that is the schar.
To be able to do the mitzvahs.
That is the schar in the Rambam.
What happens after death?
I don't want to go into that, okay. Because otherwise, okay. Whatever. So, but that in the Rambam, that is the schar.
To be able to do the mitzvahs.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. I mean, that's you know. But that is all that, it's not the good, the quote-unquote good, that's being discussed, the pleasant life. That has nothing to do with schar. So it's not the pshat that Torah picked one type of schar. That is not schar. It's not. All it is to make life easier to do mitzvahs. He brings from the Ibn Ezra that the Torah didn't discuss the schar in Olam Haba because it's impossible for us to appreciate it. We experience Gashmias. We don't experience Ruchnias. Therefore, it's not something that we can wrap our minds around. Therefore, the Torah doesn't discuss it. The Torah discusses that which we can wrap our minds around, which is this world. And therefore, the discussion is the types of rewards that there are in this world. But it's not that they're to the exclusion of reward in the next world, and so the next world is not something which we can really fully appreciate, and therefore the Torah doesn't discuss it. That's the Ibn Ezra's approach. He brings from Rabbeinu Bachai that, and also from the Ramban, that, give me one moment here. Right, this is a fascinating one. That, and this really dovetails with what we said about Mida Keneged Mida. That says this Mahalach, I guess the Rabbeinu Bachai Ramban, that getting schar in Olam Haba is to be expected, of course. That's not a shaila. The Torah doesn't have to tell us that. That's pashit. That's bederech hateva. That's normal. Because that makes sense. You did the mitzvahs, and now you're going to get rewarded for it. Say the Rabbeinu Chaya and the Ramban, the chiddush is that there's also going to be some level of schar b'olam hazeh. That's unusual. That the rain should come in the proper time, everything should run smoothly. We know this world never runs smoothly. Olam hazeh is a difficult place to be. Nobody has an easy life. That life should go smoothly, that everything should run properly, that's unusual. That's a chiddush. That's what the Torah says. The Torah is telling you the most unusual of the schar, not the one which is obvious, which is schar olam haba. That's that mahalach. And he brings a few more mahalachim. There was one more I wanted to share with you, just one moment. Okay, well, we'll leave it at this. I don't want to, but you can look at it yourselves in Parshas Bechukos. There's has four more mahalchim in discussing the focus on Olam Hazeh rather than Olam Haba in the Torah. So it seems then that the ikur of knowing about Olam Haba and knowing that it is a truism that is in the Torah itself, that is clear. However, the Torah itself does not discuss it explicitly because it is not meant to be something which we either you say it's something which we can't understand fully, or it's not something to focus on. Whatever it is, the day-to-day living of a person is in Olam Hazeh. This is what we are dealing with. When we get up in the morning, we're dealing with that we're tired and we have work to do and we have bills to pay and we have a child that's sick. And we have pressures at work, and we have someone who's upset at us, and etc. And so that is what we're dealing with. And there's traffic, and we have to have all these, and that it's raining. That is what we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. These are the issues that we deal with, and the Torah deals with us on that level as well, because that's where we're at. This is where we are. But that doesn't take away from the fact that it is critical that we are fully aware of Olam Haba, and we're fully aware of it on a constant basis, as we say it in the second Brach of Shemoneh Esrei. All of these rayas that are brought, I don't have an answer why there needs to be so many different rayas.
So many kashas.
And okay, and I also don't have a raya. I don't have an answer why this mandamer prefers this raya, and that mandamer prefers this raya, and you know the daughter of Rabbi Gamliel, etc., etc. You know, I don't have an answer to go through each and every raya to work it out.
The daughter of
the
Caesar, no?
Caesar's
daughter, Rashi
Lance. Oh, is that Caesar's daughter?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how he says it?
And Cleopatra.
You're right. You're right. Yeah, Cleopatra, that she had a raya, right? And a psukim, all of that. That all of this is, the raya that those who were never alive came to life. So those who had once been alive, for sure will come back to life. Right? That's Kavir ben Mestisa's raya. So you have different, that's his svara to bring up. So I don't know why each one likes their raya over the other one, but this is, it's obviously very, very important that we have these rayas. There is another Mar Makom you should be aware of, which is that in the Mishnah Yisach and Obayas, at the end of Nezikin Aleph has Sanhedrin in it, so at the end of Sanhedrin, in the back of that Mishnayis, the Tiferes Yisrael has a kuntris called, I believe it's called Arachayim, I believe that's what he called it, And there, he attempts to do three things. First, he proves, he wants to show five proofs that clearly there is life after death. I'm not talking about Olam Haba, necessarily, but that the neshama continues after death. But there is life. A person doesn't cease to exist. That's his first thing. He brings five different mahalchim to show that. Then he discusses kares and punishment. And then in his third of the three pieces, he discusses tchiyas hameisim. It's a very easy read and a very interesting discussion. That's another good maramakum for this sort of thing. In there, just as an example, one of the things he says is that if you don't believe that there is, that you go on, you continue on after death, he says that look at the world around you. Look how everything dies and comes back to life. Look at the winter. Look at how everything is desolate. He says, if you would take someone from Italy and Sicily, right? So he must be in southern Italy. So take people from there.
Not a real Italian.
Okay. Bring them to our countries, he says. Let them see snow. They've never seen snow and ice. Let them see the winter time. Let them see snow and ice. They will for sure say, there's no way that these trees will ever bear fruit again. There's no way that anything will ever come back to life. This place is dead. And then let them see that in the springtime, ooh, everything comes back. That's Tchiyas HaMeisim. There's nothing more dramatic than that. So that's one of his rites. Like, you know, obviously the way the world works is with Tchiyas HaMeisim. Hashem is showing to us all the time that there is such a thing as Tchiyas HaMeisim. So he has proofs like that he goes on to say that obviously you can always refute anything or you can deny anything because you can believe what you want to believe, but there's a lot in there that's very, very informative and very, very interesting. So that's another Maramakum. For next week, my goal for next week is to discuss the Maisim of the Gvia ben Pesisa on Tani Alef and Alef, which of course fascinating Maisim, which will be very relevant for next week since we're dealing with Pashas. This week's Vayera, next week is Vay, and leading Mitzrayim, and the Taina that Gvia ben Pesisa deals with over there, and that Gemara. And I also want to deal with some of the peripheral things that are mentioned here in the discussion of Tchiyas HaMeisim. There are other things that come up. On Tzadi Beis Amin Aleph, Rabbi Asa asked to go into these Shtei Oisiyos, the names of Hashem, Kel Nekamas Hashem, Mikdash Hashem, etc., that Gemara over there as well. So I'm hoping to be able to cover some of that next week as well. I would imagine that by the end of next week's Shir, in other words, 2 weeks from now, would be the time to get into the Meisim Shehech Yechezkel. Which is on Daf Tani Beis Amid Beis. That would be not next week. I don't intend to get into it next week, but in 2 weeks from now, that would be my goal to be there. So if you're learning through the Gemara, please make sure that at least in 2 weeks from now to have finished through Tani Beis Amid Beis, which is the Meisim Shehech Yechezkel.